We have been making our way through the Ten Commandments. This morning we come to the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So we're going to read through the commandments to the end of the seventh commandment, our commandment for this morning. So we're going to begin at the beginning of Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read through to the end of verse 14. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take a people for himself as his bride. Through his life, and especially through his sacrificial death on the cross, we learn what love is. We learn what it is to give of ourselves for the sake of another. And so we pray that you would teach us that love, his love, this morning. That you would show us how we often hurt other people, hurt ourselves, and call it love. That you would bring us to repentance and a true desire to follow Jesus Christ, to learn from his death on the cross. Father, open up your word to us this morning. Make us receptive to it. Where there is sin in our lives that runs against this commandment, help us to see the necessity and the good, the ultimate good for our souls, of confessing it, exposing it to the light, and seeking to turn from it. Let our minds and our hearts be open and receptive to your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the commandment is, you shall not commit adultery, which means that at the base level, the first thing that this commandment is about adultery. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about, that adultery undermines a covenant, that it's a deeply harmful thing. Adultery undermines a covenant. The commandment is first about adultery, okay? a married person engaging in sexual intercourse with someone who is not their spouse. In Israel, adultery was a capital crime. In the New Testament, Jesus says it is one of the few legitimate grounds for divorce. In fact, Jesus even says that if you divorce for illegitimate reasons and remarry, you are committing adultery. So why is adultery such a big deal? It's clear that it was treated as a big deal, both in the Old Testament and in the New. In Israel, you could be executed for committing adultery. And in the New Testament, Jesus says that it is that there are not many legitimate grounds to dissolve a marriage, but adultery is one of them. So why is adultery such a big deal? I mentioned it already, that it undermines a covenant because it undercuts a covenant made between two people and the Lord. In Malachi chapter 2, the prophet is explaining to the people of Israel why God is no longer accepting the sacrifices that they make in the temple. This is after the Israelites have been carried off in bondage to Babylon, and they have returned now to the promised land. They have rebuilt the temple. They have started the sacrificial system back up again. It's supposed to be an exciting thing for Israel, right? And yet it's clear that God is not pleased with them, and even that he's no longer accepting the sacrifices that they bring in the temple. And so Malachi the prophet is sent by God to explain to them why. And in Malachi chapter 2, he gives one of the reasons. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. But you say, why does he not? Why does he not accept our sacrifices? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Malachi says, the Lord was witness of the marriage. Man and wife entered into a covenant, sworn between them and between them and God when they were married. And then Malachi says, but you were faithless. You were unfaithful. The marriage covenant is made between two people and the Lord. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says that husband and wife become one flesh. Paul even quotes that in Ephesians 5, which we read earlier in the service. Their lives become one socially, economically, in companionship, and in trust. And sex is the physical expression of that unity, of that covenant. Which means that adultery is the physical breaking of that covenant. Sex is the physical expression of unity between husband and wife, which makes adultery the physical breaking of that covenant. A physical manifestation of disunity, of undermining that covenant. And so that's why adultery is treated as such a big deal in the Old Testament and in the New, is that it fundamentally undermines the covenant that's made between husband and wife. Okay? So that's the first thing, that adultery undermines a covenant. But this commandment isn't only about adultery. Second thing, the commandment goes to the heart. The commandment goes deeper than just the physical outward act of adultery, but it goes to the heart. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, but this portion is in chapter 5, he talks about anger and about how anger breaks the commandment against murder, because anger in the heart is the root of the outward act of murder, right? That's where it starts. Likewise, Jesus says that lust breaks the commandment against adultery, because lust in the heart is the root of the outward act of adultery. Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell." Notice how radical Jesus says we should be in dealing with sexual sin, even in dealing with the root of all sexual sin, lust in the heart. He says, if your eye or your hand cause you to sin, gouge it out or cut it off and throw it away, because it's better to lose one part of your body than to keep it intact and go to hell. Now, everyone is quick to point out, when commenting on what Jesus says here, that he is using hyperbole, right? That he is deliberately speaking in an over-the-top, exaggerated way to make a point. Everyone says that, and it's true. But few apply it well. If you say that Jesus is using hyperbole here, and then you stop, you're missing his point. Yes, Jesus is exaggerating. How do we know that? Because you can cut out an eye, or you can chop off a hand, and you can still lust in your heart quite well. Right? But Jesus is being really clear that we need to be ruthless with ourselves in addressing our lust. And I expect that this is a place we are usually not willing to see the spiritual danger, or even if we do, we're unwilling or ashamed to go to the lengths that Jesus prescribes to address it. Jesus says that unchecked, unrepentant sexual sin, including unchecked, unrepentant lust, calls into question the legitimacy of our profession of faith. He says, if you keep this up and you are not willing to deal with it, you are not willing to cut off, gouge out whatever it is that is bringing this sin in you, if you instead are happy to cherish it and keep it as a part of who you are and what you do, Jesus says you are in danger of hell. It calls into question whether we actually have the Holy Spirit. Jesus says it's better to get rid of an eye or a hand than to keep them and go to hell. The stakes are high as they can be. Which is why the narrative that we are told socially, that pornography is harmless and ultimately healthy, is a complete lie, a devastating lie, a lie from the pit of hell. And even if we recognize that it's not ideal, we're often not anywhere close to going to the lengths that Jesus talks about to deal with it. I've known men who have gotten rid of their cable TV and internet service in their homes because they found the temptation overwhelming and they needed to get their lusts under check. I have also known others who didn't want to install site blocking or accountability software on their computer, even though this was a real problem for them, because it might make their internet slower. Jesus uses hyperbole when he talks about gouging out eyes or cutting off hands. But sometimes we're not even willing to be inconvenienced in a minor way in order to deal with this sin. And I want us to consider one more thing. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We've been talking this morning about how Jesus is the husband of the church, the bridegroom of the church, and that it is his sacrifice on the cross that teaches us what love is. That's what John is saying here. Love gives of self in order to seek the good of another, right? Love does what is painful and difficult for me for the sake of what is good for another. Hate does the opposite. Hate takes from another in order to seek my own good or in order to seek my own pleasure. You sometimes hear, I assume some women say similar things, but it's so often men that I hear things say things like this. We'll say something like, I love women. And I love women so much that I couldn't limit myself to just one. Right? I couldn't tie myself down to just one. I need to be with as many as I can because I love women so much. Love gives of self for the sake of another. Hate takes from another for my own sake. Marriage is an act of love. Seeking to give sexual pleasure to your spouse is an act of love. Lust is an act of hate. It's a selfish thrill with no desire to give of yourself for the sake of the other. If there is unchecked, unrepentant lust in your life, pornography is the most common way that this happens, though it's not the only way. And I'm not just speaking to the men right now. Okay, the old men are visual creatures and women are emotional ones. If it was ever true, it is becoming less and less so today. The rates of regular use of pornography among women is climbing steadily. If you have unchecked, unrepentant lust in your life, talk to someone. Doesn't have to be me. Talk to someone. Talk to someone who won't say, oh, it's normal, it's no big deal, don't worry about it. Talk to someone who will bring the gospel to bear in your life that any sin, including this one, can be covered by the blood of Jesus. And someone who will help you take some practical steps, maybe even some radical ones, to bring it under control. The Holy Spirit will help you too. But the stakes are high, and so if this is something that has been lurking in the darkness of your life for some time, bring it into the light. Let Jesus go to work on it. If you've been unfaithful to your spouse, it's something you should confess. All right. Adultery undermines a covenant. The commandment goes to the heart, and I want to finish with this. The goal is love. We've talked about how when there are commandments that speak in a negative way, as this one does, you shall not commit adultery, that they are also pointing us toward the positive, that they are encouraging us toward the opposite of the thing that we're talking about. It's saying this, even as it's presenting itself as a prohibition against something, it's also holding up to us what is good and right and beautiful. We've talked about what this commandment is against. What's it for? We've mentioned it already, but I want to end here. Love. And not just love in the sort of sentimental way that we often talk about it, but love in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. The love that meets your spouse's morning breath or coffee breath or both with a smile every morning. The love that picks clothes up off the floor and washes the dishes for the 200,000th time. The love that cares for them when they're sick. The love that even after years and years of marriage, gives themselves to their spouse and seeks that spouse's sexual pleasure. The love that forgives even though you have forgiven so many times before. This is the love of Christ. And it's not just for husbands and wives, it is for everyone. That Jesus Christ on the cross teaches us what love is. Willing to give of ourselves for the sake of another. The love of Christ who literally gave his body for our sake. Who is the husband to his bride, the church. Who is the source of our forgiveness for our sexual sin. And who is our guide and example in repenting of our sin and following him in selfless love and in sexual purity. It sounds impossible, and perfection in this life is. But we can follow him down this path of love. It's a narrow way, but it's there. He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. So if it's a path that you've been running away from for a long time, the right time to turn around is always now. I invite you to do that. Because the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is full and free and beautiful. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us walk in love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending us Jesus Christ. Thank you that we know what love is because we know him. Father, where our hearts have become calloused, conditioned, used to our sin, break that. Remind us of the full and free forgiveness that is ours through faith in Jesus. And give us true evangelical repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.